This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massey with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And it's been already quite a Dodger day here at AM 570 LA Sports. Kike Hernandez was inside the locker room with Petros and Money. A full house up there at our very fancy iHeart studio. So thanks to Kike for stopping by and obviously throwing some shots at me. So I always look at that as some love. I love those inside fastballs. I always take that as some love. So you'll hear from Kike, too. I'll play you part of Inside the Locker Room with Kike Hernandez from Petros and Money Show. I thought he really gave a great glimpse inside the Dodger clubhouse and how much Chase Utley really means to this team. And yes, he is 39 years old going into the 2018 season, but he's still not signed as a free agent, and I would believe the only place he wants to play right now is with the Dodgers. The Phillies, from what I understand, made some overtures to him, and he doesn't want to go back there. So he's been working out in Los Angeles during the offseason, and he means a lot to the team. You've heard managers talk about guys like Derek Jeter and others of that ilk and how much those type of players make the manager's job easier. That's Chase Utley for Dave Roberts. That's who he was at the end of Don Mattingly's time with the Dodgers as well. Without Chase Utley and his leadership in the clubhouse, I don't think the Dodgers get out of their tailspin at the end of the season. I don't think they get back on track and be ready for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I also don't believe they go to the World Series and have 104 wins in the regular season without having Chase Utley on their team. So somehow, some way, the Dodgers have got to find a spot for Chase Utley. And I'm not talking about the numbers because they're not going to be the type of numbers that Cody Bellinger or Corey Seager puts up. But what he brings, no numbers can measure. And I know baseball these days is all about the numbers, and thankfully, Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi have seen past those numbers when it comes to Chase Utley. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, I guess in honor of Austin Barnes getting married this weekend, we'll hear my conversation with Austin a little bit later in the show at the bottom of the hour. So we'll let you hear from Austin Barnes as he is just on the eve of not being a single man anymore. Yeah, and he's not getting married in Riverside, which is a big win, too. I know. The biggest topic in baseball right now, though, and I'm sure you have a lot of strong opinions about it, as I do, as everybody seems to, including the players in baseball and the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and you heard Petros and Money talking about it at the end of their show there, is pace of play. And I really challenge you to go back and Google George Will, the great columnist from Washington, the Washington Post, George Will. He wrote a great column back in the middle of summer. It was dated June 23rd. And he really basically laid out common sense when it comes to pace of play in Major League Baseball. And to be honest with you, the person that turned me on to this column in summertime was another major league manager. And he pointed to that column and said, this makes sense. And this is the direction Major League Baseball should go. In case you missed it, according to reports, Rob Manfred wants to impose a pitch clock of 20 seconds with or without a runner on base. And the players don't want to have a pitch clock when there's runners on base. But according to Ken Rosenthal in his report, Manfred said that if the average time of play goes under 3 hours, they would consider taking away the pitch clock with runners on base. But in 2018, they want the pitch clock of 20 seconds. Now, the thing that Manfred wants to do that makes more sense to me is the one mound visit per inning by anybody, by a manager, by a player, by a pitching coach, anybody. One mound visit per inning. There are way too many mound visits by the manager, by the pitching coach, by players now. That's how the dugouts are getting away with not having to go out there multiple times before they have to take out the starting pitcher or the relief pitcher, because they're having the catcher go out there multiple times, seemingly at times for virtually every batter. Now, in case you don't know this, before every series and every game, the pitcher and catcher and the pitching coaches go over a game plan for that team's lineup. Wouldn't you think they have that game plan ironed out? Now, I know game situations dictate how you pitch a hitter, but in my opinion, baseball has become so robotic that they're not allowing their players to have the instincts to play the game like they should have. You see players looking into the dugout all the time for where they should be positioned on virtually every hitter. I see it with the Dodgers. Shouldn't these guys have their own scouting report in their head by maybe after playing a full season in the big leagues, or at least two full seasons in the big leagues? At the very least, you should have your own scouting report and know who you have on the mound, the way they're pitching, and the tendencies of the hitter. Now, I'm not saying they can't do it, because I firmly believe they can, but they're being controlled so much by the analytics and the information from all these different teams that they're not being allowed to use their own instincts. So I think that's really the issue at hand here. It's not so much pitchers taking too long to deliver the baseball. It's all these mound visits, and it's all these pitching changes, the way the game has trended now, to having starting pitchers only go 4 or 5 innings and then a train of relievers coming in virtually for every two hitters. That's why baseball has a pace of play issue. It's not so much the pitcher taking so long to throw the ball. It's all these mound visits. It's all these pitching changes. And now the way hitters have been taught from single A all the way up to the big leagues, and what they're being rewarded for is on-base percentage and slugging percentage, meaning they are being encouraged by their teams to see as many pitches as possible, which makes sense if pitch counts are such a big deal. You want to get the opposing pitcher's pitch count up there so they're out of the game. Now, as far as the home runs and the slugging percentage, baseball has itself to blame. They reward players that hit home runs and strike out nearly 200 times a year. That used to be a major scarlet letter on a player's baseball card or their resume if they struck out more than 100 times in a season. That's nothing now. And by the way, my good buddy Gary Sheffield, 22 years in the big leagues, never struck out 100 times in any single season, and he was one of the most prolific home run hitters of his generation, and should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. So those are the issues with baseball. The commissioner is completely missing the boat with this pitch clock. Yes, some pitchers definitely are way too deliberate and take way too long to deliver the ball. That may take a couple of minutes off the game. And the commercial times, they tried that. They tried to shorten the commercial breaks twice during the season last year, where they had these test TV games on MLB Network. Those games went well over 3 hours, so that wasn't the issue either. The issue is the way the game of baseball is being encouraged to play in the professional ranks right now. That is the issue. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. What do you see? What do you observe when you watch a game of baseball? To be honest with you, I don't care about the time of games. There's crusty writers in the press box that are always complaining about, oh, this game is going way too long. I don't care. I'm there to cover baseball. I love baseball. And I've watched 162-plus games the past 6 years with the Dodgers. I love every game. Yes, some are more ridiculous as far as the strategy of managers at certain point in times of the games, but I'm not counting the clock. I'm not looking at the clock. If you're looking at the clock, you're going to drive yourself crazy, and it's going to be horrible. It's not going to be a good experience. And I'm not sure you really care about the time of game as much as the suits in New York and the crusty writers and media people in the press boxes. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll hear from Kike Hernandez and the glowing reviews he had for his teammate Chase Utley. And also, we'll take your phone calls on pace of play. Yeah, I guess it's come to this right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Nissan Dodger Talk, David Bass, stay with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on AM 570 LA Sports. 25 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Cannot believe it's coming up that fast. You heard Kike Hernandez on with Petros and Money during the 5 o'clock hour inside the locker room. A great hour with Kike Hernandez. The guys did a great job. I want to give Matt Moneysmith that ringing endorsement. A great job with Kike Hernandez and his platinum hair. And it's great to have the Dodgers come in here, not only to be with you on the radio, but also be able to be with the fans that are able to win their way into inside the locker room. And it was not a seat empty. And my experience with Kike at the Dodger Fan Fest, which is coming up in just over a week, a couple of Saturdays from now, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. out there at Dodger Stadium on the 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., he gets maybe the loudest ovation of any other Dodger. He and Puig get the loudest ovation out of any other Dodgers that I've been on stage with at FanFest, and it just showed again how big of a fan favorite he is, and who will ever forget those three home runs in Game 5 of the NLCS. It'll go down in Dodger history, no doubt about it. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll let you hear part of that inside the locker room with Kike Hernandez in just a moment, but we're talking pace of play. We're talking about pace of play? Yeah, we are. Let's go out to Upland. Raul, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Raul.
Hey, David. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
No, not too shabby.
Not too shabby, huh? It's Friday. Come on, you gotta be doing better than that.
I'm working tonight, unfortunately.
All right, working for the weekend.
Yeah, I gotta make that extra money for the Bills.
Amen.
But in terms of what you were talking about earlier about pace of play, listen, I'm a millennial, so I grew up in that generation where kids were going outside and playing outside in the ballpark. You know, go to the park, skateboard, do all those things, and slowly see how everybody went into this whole millennial thing of using the iPhones and
instant gratification, you know. Raul, is what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with what they're doing, but I understand why. And I mean, look at it this way. I mean, people don't really talk about baseball as much as they should. You know, I mean, I know we're in Dodger Town. I know, but it doesn't seem like there's enough respect for it because everybody says the same thing. It's too slow. Everybody doesn't really.
Do they all say that, or are they making that up? Because the ratings of the World Series were off the charts, and every Dodger postseason game was off the charts.
No, absolutely, absolutely, but only when it matters. But I think it's only when during the season it's where people don't really grasp onto the games when they should.
So what should they do to fix it, Raul? Is a pitch clock staring us in the face really the answer?
Oh, no. I wasn't going to come up with the answers on that one, but the only thing I say is at least they're making the attempt to find a solution, and I mean, that's all I could ask for, really.
I don't want to see a clock.
I'm sorry?
I don't want to see a clock. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Sal, who's in L.A. You're on with David Vasse. What's up, Sal?
David, I think you're absolutely right for the commissioner to get involved with the changes, like what the NFL is trying to do with the referees. They're going to totally change the game. They're going to lose the audience, and it's not good for baseball.
Anybody, hey, Sal, speaking of referees, too, how about how long it takes to get a replay overturned or not? It seems like those are taking longer than what the rules are for baseball to overturn a replay.
Exactly. So you can't do it. You know, for this guy to talk about this, he's being influenced by New York, the advertising media, the television people, whoever it is, it's totally wrong. It's going to kill the game. If you want to kill the game, go ahead and do it. If you want to play baseball, that's part of the thing. Anybody who knows baseball will appreciate what the managers, the players, all the strategies that goes into it.
Send a memo to all the baseball teams and tell them to stop teaching their players to take as many pitches as they are. Stop telling the managers to change pitchers virtually every batter after five innings, and then you'll have a quicker game. Is that what they want to do? You can't really dictate a team's strategy to win a baseball game, but you can throw some wrinkles into it, and I, for one, am a huge proponent of limiting mound visits to just one. You don't want the catcher going out there every time. You don't want a player going to the mound every other time. And you certainly don't want the pitching coach going out there on top of all that. So I'm a huge proponent of what they're proposing as far as one visit to the mound. But a pitching clock is not going to really trim down the time of game or make the pace of play better. It may not, but I don't think it's going to make a significant difference. What they can do is, number one, the mound visit. Number two, yeah, maybe limit the number of pitching changes you make in an inning or a total game. And how about this, too? Like I just mentioned, be a little quicker on the replay. That shouldn't take as long as it's taking. That is dragging the game out longer. You want to make the game under 3 hours, but then you have instant replay incorporated into the game. And by the way, the spirit of replay shouldn't be whether or not a guy beats the throw and his foot comes off the bag by a millicentimeter. I mean, come on. That's not the spirit of instant replay or why they put it in. It's not when a pitcher's trying to pick off a runner at first base, he beats the throw and just shuffles his feet and they're holding the tag for about 30 extra seconds to see if he does. That's not the spirit of the play, of the rule. They might want to change that as well. Let's go out to Beaumont. Mike, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. There are so many issues that baseball has zero common sense, and really that's the legacy of baseball, their lack of common sense throughout their entire history.
Yeah, I think that the pitching changes, it's getting excessive. I watch a lot of Dodgers, and Dave Roberts seems like he wants to jump out of that dugout every inning, like it's the seventh game of the World Series.
Yeah, well, they made more pitching changes than any other team in baseball the last 2 years, and that's their strategy. If the rules allow it, why not do it? But that's where I feel the Dodgers and other teams, if you want to make the game quicker, limit the number of pitching changes in an inning or even in a game.
Yeah, I agree. It's analytics and all these new teams that have come into the game. I mean, it's just the game's changed. You got defensive shifts, and it's just changing, and maybe they do need to do something about the mound business.
Well, how much do you want it sped up? Really, is baseball, I mean, usually people that aren't big baseball fans, they have it on in the background in their living room, especially when Vin Scully was broadcasting Dodger games. Do you really feel like games are going too long?
No, I like it the way it is, but, you know, when I want to take the kids to the ballpark or watch the game, you know, you want to keep them interested a little bit, you know. And I'm not saying shorten it, maybe just keep it the way it is. I like it the way it is. But if it goes any longer, you know, then...
Yeah, we don't want to see four-hour games. No doubt about it. We don't want to see four-hour games, but are three-hour games really that bad? I mean, I don't think they're that bad. And by the way, too, how about getting some pitchers that know how to throw strikes? That's another issue. If they don't throw strikes, the game is going to go on longer and longer, no matter if they're told to throw the ball in 10 seconds. That's the problem, too. See, it's not about these broad stroke changes to baseball. There's a fundamental problem in the minor leagues right now, and really rushing pitchers that aren't ready and really just developing throwers and not pitchers. That's why games are going on longer, frankly. Guys can't throw strikes. That's the biggest problem and the most irritating things. If you watch backstage Dodgers when they mic up guys in the dugout, they're even moaning and groaning over a pitcher that can't throw strikes. Those are the systemic problems in baseball. It's not whether or not a guy's throwing the ball within 20 seconds or not. Rob Manfred should talk to some baseball people instead of just listening to whomever. Talk to people that are actually in the dugout right now. Talk to players that are actually playing right now. And get like 5 or 10 of those guys in a room with you instead of having 60 players on a conference call and shouting over each other. I just don't understand It's not that difficult. It really is not that difficult to understand why games are taking so long. And really, it starts with the players not being ready to play or pitch in the big leagues. Let's go out to San Dimas, home of Raging Waters. Francisco, you're on with David Vasse on Nissan Dodger Talk. What's up, Francisco?
Hey, David, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little heated now when I start to think of the problems with why games are going long, and it has nothing to do with a pitch clock.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the pitch clock has nothing to do with it. Like you said, they're not going to throw strikes, so why go with it? But I do like the fact that they're trying to put that into perspective, that the catchers can go as many times as in the playoffs that they went to go visit with the pitcher.
I know. It was getting a little ridiculous, and that happened during the regular season.
Yeah, so I think they should take that into consideration. At least only two visits, and that's it. And then you have to deal with whatever comes next.
Yeah, one visit, and then you have to take the pitcher out. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Like I mentioned, Kike Hernandez was very generous with his time on a Friday night to come inside the locker room here from 5 to 6 o'clock with Petros and Money. And Petros really asked a great question that opened up a great response by Kike Hernandez. And this was part of Kike's Inside the Locker Room, and really gave you a peek inside that Dodger clubhouse and really who is the glue to that Dodger team.
Who on that team inspires you? You know, who do you really like watching go about their work? Or are you one of those guys that just does his own thing and you don't like watching anybody else?
No, it's 1,000% Chase Utley.
Is that why your hair is dyed like his?
I try. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually
it's an homage.
That's actually why. Yeah, we were gonna go to I think it was JT's wedding, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna dye my hair gray. I'm gonna try and go gray to show up and look like the Silver Fox. But then I looked myself in the mirror a few hours later, and it was turning blue. So I just said I wanted to be.
That's for the old as well. Blue hair. People with the blue hair.
I wanted it to be Dodger blue, but no, it was gray. But yeah. You know, not only has he helped me the most throughout my career than anybody else, but just to sit back and look at the way he goes about his business, not only the way that he plays the game at 75 years old, but you know,
he's here. That guy's not a day over 50. He's not a day over 50, that guy.
That was not me.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad person.
So what does he do? Like, what is different about what Chase does from everybody else?
His discipline is ridiculous, you know. He's the ultimate team guy. He's doing things that he shouldn't even be doing. He's doing things that scouts should be doing or the video guys should be doing. But that's just the way he is. Not, you know, obviously, like, you sit down and talk to him and you ask him why he does all these things. And he tells you, well, you know, as you get older, you know that you're going to start needing more and more preparation to get loose and different things. But, you know, when you're, I think he just turned 39 and, but when you've played the game for how long he's played it and you've done that much for the game the way he does, because, you know, I remember Chase, you know, I wasn't really a fan of his because I wasn't a fan of the Phillies, but I remember growing up and being like, Chase Utley is the greatest second baseman in all of baseball right now. And that was not only for 2 years, but it was for like 7 to 10 years where he was like probably the best player in his position. You know, some guys just, you know, I've made plenty of money. I don't have to work hard anymore. I can just sit back now and relax and, you know, just go through the motions. But, you know, that guy just works. Like, if he's still hungry to accomplish something, that, he's always the first one to get to the field. And then usually, if not the last, the second to last to leave. So, you know, that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of heart and discipline, you know, it's so hard to be so disciplined in this sport where you have to play for 7 months nonstop and, you know, you don't really get that much family time. You know, I feel it myself. I have a fiance and two dogs. He's got a wife and he's got two kids. So I can't imagine like not being able to spend as much time with my kids as I would like to. And, you know, he puts his, the team first before everything. And you know, that's something that you sit back and you're like, I want to be like him when I grow up.
I thought that was really insightful and gave you an understanding of how much Chase Utley has meant to the Dodgers, not only last year, but ever since he got traded from the Phillies to the Dodgers. I remember the first day that he was in a Dodger uniform. It actually happened to be when the Dodgers were in Houston playing an interleague series, and I know coaches and players were blown away by the fact of how early he got there and how much he was working, even at that stage of his career. And here he is at 39 doing the same exact thing, and you just heard from Kike how much guys just follow his cue and really feel that if he's doing it with everything else he's accomplished, why am I not doing that? And that's what a leader is about. It's not about saying publicly, I'm the spokesman, I'm the leader, I'm this or that. It's about doing it and leading by example. And the Dodgers have been lucky to have a guy like Chase Utley. And hopefully he's back with the Dodgers in spring training and on opening day, which I do tend to believe that he will be. I know he's been working out in Los Angeles. I know the Dodgers' 40-man roster is full, but I tend to believe that they will find a way to give him an opportunity to be part of this team in 2018. And keep in mind, too, Dave Roberts wins Manager of the Year his rookie year as a big league manager and then takes a veteran team to the World Series in his second year. You don't think having a guy like Chase Utley and hearing what Kike Hernandez just said, what he meant and the way guys look and follow him, played a big part in Dave Roberts being as successful as he has been the first 2 years as manager of the Dodgers? I think there's a big connection there. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. More Nissan Dodger Talk next on AM570 LA Sports. Bum, 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 bum. Tell me what you gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you, when judgment comes for you. Tell me what you gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to hide. When judgment comes for you, cause it's gonna come for you. There they are, my guys. Bone Thugs and Harmony. Used to tip a few drinks, cocktails with my guy Busy Bone. That's right. Back at TGI Fridays in Woodland Hills, pre-marriage days. So Busy Bone, that's right. Incredible. Welcome back to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massey with you until 8 o'clock tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. In 10 minutes, you'll hear my conversation from Austin Barnes in honor of Austin's nuptials tomorrow here in Southern California. But it was a great Dodger day in case you missed it. Kike Hernandez inside the locker room with Petros and Money. We played a little bit of that for you in our last segment. And in case you want to see the entire hour, you can log on to AM570LASports.com. We're talking about pace of play. Do you have really a problem with the games going over 3 hours? 4 hours would be horrible. But really, my point of the whole thing is that Major League Baseball is completely missing the boat with some of the changes they want to make that will supposedly speed up the pace of play. They want to put in a pitch clock, number one. That's the biggest thing. That is 20 seconds or a pitch clock of 20 seconds where the pitcher has to release the ball in 20 seconds once the guy steps into the batter's box. But that's not going to change the fact that there are so many pitchers out there that can't throw strikes. That won't change the fact that there are so many hitters out there that are taking more and more pitches and are more selective, especially since some guys can't even get close to the plate. That's the biggest systemic problem in Major League Baseball. Guys are coming up to the big leagues because they're not ready. And think about all these teams that are now tanking because they believe they have no chance and have to rebuild their system. They're bringing up pitchers that have no business being in Major League Baseball because they don't have any talent. And they're bringing up guys that can't throw strikes. And if you're not throwing strikes, there's more pitches being thrown. And the game goes on and on and on. It's ridiculous. Does Rob Manfred understand that? It has nothing to do with a pitch clock. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gaston in Boyle Heights, who is here for Kike Hernandez. Great to meet you today, Gaston, my number one fan with Manny and Gardena, 1A, 1B.
Hey, DV, how are you? It's great meeting you this evening, man.
Hey.
That was a pretty awesome thing there.
Great to meet you and your daughter, man. Great to meet you and your daughter. Thanks for coming out.
Hey, it was awesome. Hey, listen, I spoke to Tim Cates last night. It's a play little fiasco that's going on. You know, I mean, there's argument. There's good arguments on both sides. You know, you got the millennials, the younger crowd coming in, and, you know, for them, it's about getting there in the second inning, making sure it's a microwave. It's got to happen quick. But, you know, coming from a purist traditionalist of baseball, you know, hey, it's the just game of sports there. You know, there's a lot of strategy, a lot of moves, what have you. But, yeah, it's so ridiculous, you know. 4 and 5 different mound visits, you know, it gets a little bit monotonous. But so I guess there's a good argument on both sides. But being that I'm a purist and a traditionalist, I say let's get rid of the designated hitter in that other league and let's play real baseball, you know, with real 9 players, not one team being able to cheat with 10. So
that will never happen, Gaston. And thank you for the phone call and thanks for coming out today. The Players Union would never allow a spot, a job to be taken away, especially at this point in time in where they're at with Major League Baseball. Let's go out to Huntington Beach. Brandon, you're on with David Vasse. What's up, Brandon?
Dave, you're 100% correct. Baseball is a game of strategy and thinking, and it's not a game clock. And anyone that likes baseball or loves baseball, it is what it is, and you just do the game. And like you said, all these different things, the mound visits, yeah, that needs to all be eliminated, like keep doing that. But the game of baseball is the game of baseball. You can't fundamentally change it. It's going to take a while, and that's the best part of the game is you think, you sit there and look, you strategize, you look at the different aspects of the game, and that's the part of baseball that makes it better than any other sport. And last time I checked, baseball has been more popular the last 20 years than it has been since the 80s, 70s, 60s, whatever. But baseball is fine. We just need to do little things, and you're 100% right.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Brandon. Appreciate it. Basically, what I'm advocating for is stop micromanaging the game. If a pitcher is in the big leagues, he should be good enough to get out a righty or lefty. Of course, there are the splits that we're all very aware of, but the fact is it's gone overboard. You don't have to make a pitching change after pitching change, and now you're seeing teams carrying 8 or 9 relief pitchers, which what do you think that's for? That's to be able to have more pitching changes and bring in more relief pitchers. So maybe limit the roster size to so many relief pitchers. I don't know. But the fact is, it's not a pitch clock. That's not the problem. The problem is all these mound visits by everybody in play, including the pitching coach, including the catcher, and some infielders that want to come in and discuss whatever they want to discuss. There's too much of it. One mound visit, I 100% agree with. But the other stuff, you can't control. You can't make a pitcher throw a strike. That's up to the team, the organization, to be able to run their organization better so they have guys that are more prepared to pitch at the big league level. Let's go out to our Pound Blue line in Lake Elsinore. Jason, you're on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jason.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Jason.
Good. Hey, first of all, I just want to give a round of applause to the San Francisco Giants for being the worst team in the NL West this year.
All right, yeah, congrats. And they brought in 230-something guys.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say I'm not a big fan of MLB trying to more or less like standardizing what a game time should be. Because when it comes down to it, if you have a pitcher's duel, if you have your aces on the mound, you know, you're talking about a game that's going to be maybe like a 1-3 game, and it's going to go quick and be under 3 hours. But if teams are scoring, it's going to go long, and there's really nothing that you can do about that.
Yeah, that's another part of it, too. They want their cake and eat it, too, with the offense. More runs is going to create a longer game. Thanks for the phone call, Jason. Appreciate it. One guy that doesn't go out to the mound a million times is Austin Barnes, who is getting married tomorrow here in Southern California. He caught up with us a couple of weeks ago here on Dodger Talk, and in honor of his marriage, we thought we'd let you hear that again.
Yeah, you know, like a happy new year. So it's like a little Merry Christmas. I got nothing from you all holiday season that day. And the first thing you say is, can you do the show?
I felt like if I were to say happy new year, I would have texted you on New Year's Day.
Yeah, well, you didn't, so I was just thinking, you know, maybe you would have got me one with a little couple days later.
I felt like the statute of limitations for a Happy New Year's text was over on maybe yesterday.
Yeah, that could be fair. You know, you're right.
Are you upset I didn't text you on New Year's Day? I felt like I'm the last guy you want to hear from.
No, I'm all right, Bessie. I see how it is. No, you're my guy, man. You always you're always fun to see around the clubhouse. That's for sure.
Oh, thanks, Austin. And you're my guy too. And you know, nobody asked my advice in that clubhouse about the wedding bells. I don't know if your fiance's next to you, but you never asked my advice on whether or not you should go through with this. Is it still on, by the way? Is the wedding still on?
Yeah, it is. I'm a lucky guy, man. She's actually going to still marry me, so that's it's in a couple weeks, and we're pretty excited about it. We've been pretty busy this off season, man. There's been a lot of weddings, been a lot of good times. So it's I've hit Ross Stripling's. We went to Woody's. We went to JT's.
Wow.
And it's been going on all off season. So it's good though. It's fun.
So you're
for sure.
You're three for three on all the weddings. We had Chris Taylor on a couple of weeks ago, and he said the only one he's gone to was the one in Cabo.
Yeah, I mean that's probably a good one to go to. Nice, have a nice little. I didn't go to Ruse in Korea though. I missed that one.
But did you get an invite? If you get the invite, you have to send a gift.
No, you know what? I did not get an invite to that one. Pretty upset. I wanted to see Korea, never been. But Ruse looks happy, man. It's good for him.
So Austin, you're up in Santa Barbara with Jock Peterson. We all know Jock needs a lot of help in a lot of different areas. So how are you helping him get through this week before he says, I do?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot. The process of getting married, I did not realize what goes into a wedding. And obviously, I'm not even doing the grunt work of the work, but it's an extensive process, that's for sure. It's it can get pretty lengthy. So I'm sure he's excited to get it going. And, you know, it being a couple days away, I'm sure he's got some. He's pretty anxious, so like I said, it'll be a good time.
I got a tip for you. Enjoy all these weddings, being the guest at the wedding, because at your own wedding, you won't eat, you will drink, but you won't eat, and it'll go by so fast. So being the guest at a wedding is a lot better than being the guest of honor at your wedding.
No, I'm sure. I've been to a few weddings, so I know how they work, but you're right. I think it's a different dynamic for sure when you're the person you're married. Hey, you're married, Beth?
Yeah, can you believe that? I think six years. 6 years, I think.
Wow, I cannot believe that. Yeah, you're right.
Me either. I can't believe that either.
No, it's a good time. Everybody's it's a lot of planning, but we're, you know, getting pretty close to it, so we're excited.
Austin, I guess all the weddings and all the fun you guys have been having this off season, has it made it seem like it's gone by faster? And how far away does the World Series feel at this point in time in the off season?
No, I mean it was already a pretty short off season, but I mean, yeah, we've been busy pretty much every weekend, and you know, now absolutely with ramping up the baseball stuff, we're pretty pretty packed. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a while ago, but you know, those games still kind of live with you. So, yeah, I mean, it takes a while for sure to get over those games. Nothing, there's, you know, playing those kind of intensity in the playoff games and the World Series is a different animal. So, it seems a little while ago, but you definitely sit back and reflect on them and every once in a while.
When you look at what you did in the postseason and the opportunity you got in the regular season, has that sunk in that the Dodgers trusted you with so much responsibility, especially down the stretch, and how much did that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything. You know, you go out there and you compete with your teammates. You've been going out there every day. You go out there with them, grind, and prepare with them. And, you know, you want to be in the lineup, obviously, and you want to help the team win. And obviously, in the big games like that, you want to be a part of it. And, you know, it was a fun run. Obviously, it didn't end the way we wanted to. And you know, it hurt for sure. I don't think I don't think you ever necessarily get over a game 7 loss. But you know, it's something we'll just have to learn from and become better at.
When you talk about that game 7 loss and how it lives with you, Austin, do you have to protect from maybe having a hangover of thinking about that too much when you get to spring training, or is that something that you want to stay with you and carry with you the entire year?
I mean, I think it's like anything. You can either take the positives or negatives from it. I think we're going to choose to take the positives from, I mean, the most positive thing you could take from it, and that is like learning from, you know, what happened, learning from the postseason, and just learning so we're more well prepared next year for the playoffs. I think I've had a good experience with that from, you know, obviously the last 2 years I've seen the postseason from a different aspect. I was on the roster for a series, and then I was watching the games from not as an active player. So I kind of had so I was kind of watching those games, kind of, you know, back then, kind of itching to get in there. And you know, thankfully enough, I was able to get in there this year.
Austin, you mentioned being there with your team and grinding with your teammates. It seemed like your teammates were almost as happy for you as they were for their own success. Does that make things a lot more enjoyable when you have your teammates rooting for you to get that opportunity like you got this year?
Yeah, I think it just kind of, you know, it's kind of a testament to kind of what kind of guys we have in the clubhouse. I think there's a general, you know, obviously we want each other to do well, and I think that shows in the way we play. I think that's a part of the reason why we were so successful this year, is because I think there's an honest and like a true belief in that we want everybody to do well, and we want to work, do this together. And I think, like I said, I think it shows in the way we played.
Austin Barnes is our guest. Austin, one thing when you talk about your teammates, you know, it's one thing to have, you know, certain guys be happy for you and enjoy what you do, but when you have the best pitcher of our generation really marvel at the way you receive his pitches, how much does that blow you away, and how good are you at receiving, and how did you learn to be that good at receiving as a catcher?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as a catcher, you guys, you work for your pitcher's trust, and, you know, when guys say things like that, you know, I think it's, you know, obviously it feels good, and, you know, I think as a catcher, you pretty much want your pitchers to trust you, and, you know, I think the big part for catching, I think you have to earn their respect with not just only, like, you know, receiving the ball, blocking the physical stuff. You have to do a lot of the mental grind, and I think that was a very big aspect of the playoffs that more than, you know, there's a lot of information coming at you, and I think that, like what you said earlier, I think that will help me for next year. But I think that, you know, I think we all as a group can learn from what happened and just get better. But as receiving, who helped me a lot was actually one of my high school teammates. He's actually in my wedding. His name is Hector Abago. I started catching at Arizona State, and he started helping me when he was with the Yankees organization. He kind of ironed out my little kinks as a receiver, and he gave me a good groundwork for it, and I kind of just took it from there.
When you talk about the mental grind about catching, Austin, was it difficult for you to just basically say, whatever I do with the bat is gravy, and I can't take that with me behind the plate? Has that been difficult for you? It doesn't seem like it has.
No, I think you have to learn that pretty quick as a catcher. You know, you really have to separate each side of the ball, especially in, I've learned that a long time ago, but it, my main job is taking care of the staff. I think any catcher would tell you that. But the preparation and, preparation is kind of, it's fun. It's different. It's a different game. It's a different aspect than, you know, I just play infield too. It's not the same as a day when you come away second or anything like that. It's a different, you kind of take pride in it, you know? So you take pride in the work you do before the games, and it gives you that confidence in the game to make your calls.
Well, Austin, I know your teammates were happy for you for getting that opportunity and the success and how much you contributed to the Dodgers' success in 2017. I'm one of those guys. I'm an Austin Barnes fan. I hate to say it. This is the first time and last time I'll say anything nice about you. So congratulations on all the success. Congratulations on the upcoming wedding, and can't wait to see you in spring training.
Thanks, Jesse. I think somebody's got that recorded somewhere, so I'm going to get that.
You could podcast it.
Yeah, I'm going to podcast that thing. But thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, Austin. I'll talk to you in spring training.
Okay, have a good one.
There he goes, Austin Barnes. There he goes, on his way to walk down the aisle tomorrow. He's getting married, the last Dodger wedding of the offseason. And you heard Kike Hernandez mention he is getting married next offseason, so they have that to look forward to, which I think is a smart move. Why lump yourself in with 10 other weddings? Have yours alone during an offseason. And hopefully Kike and the rest of the Dodgers are celebrating a parade after 2018. Spring training. Pitchers and catchers report in 25 days. It's getting that close. And don't forget about Dodger Fan Fest. That's coming up even sooner, which is really the official kind of a kickoff event to spring training. You could get tickets to Fan Fest at Dodgers.com/FanFest, and it's going to be on Saturday, January 27th. There's going to be the player interviews, autograph sessions, interactive games, and more. So go to Dodgers.com/FanFest today. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio and his crew for all their help. If you missed the show, you could podcast it at AM570LASports.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya!